Okay, we'll go ahead and reconvene to open session. Lou, would you lead us in the pledge one more time, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ann, could you take roll? We did lose one of our members, so.
Yes. Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Tornatsky.
Here.
Director Wright.
Here.
Vice President Storm. President Ohilske.
Present.
Thank you.
For the record, Director Storm had to go home. He was ill, so he was here for closed session. So I will give the report out of closed session. The Board of Directors went into closed session to discuss real property matters under Government Code Section 54956.8 and personnel matters under Government Code Section 54957, and there is no reportable action. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and public comment for items not on the agenda.
Thank you, CSD Board, for allowing me to have a few minutes to speak to you. My name is Linda Quessenberry. I've lived in the area for 46 years. Los Osos raised my kids here and have worked a long time ago on organizing and different fundraisers, including the community center in Los Osos. I'm here because I'm starting a Los Osos Community Coalition. And the purpose of it is to join together with others for a common purpose and to network with each other throughout the year. It's comprised of representatives from service organizations, faith-based communities, resource providers, law enforcement, local government, schools, and the Chamber of Commerce. It's not a new organization, but a network of the community. And I've served on many networks before, and I find that with people knowing each other, you get more accomplished, and you could also meet people who have the same goals that you have. So this is what I'd like to do, and I'd like to invite a representative from the CSD Board to attend. The meeting is going to be on June 16th at 9 o'clock here in the community. Here at the South Bay Community Center, and I also want to say thank you for the board of the South Bay Community Center for allowing me to use the center for this meeting. I'm very excited. I have about 35 people who are very interested in coming, including the superintendent of schools, who would like to meet the community and find out more of their needs. So this is basically for Los Osos community, and I'll tell you, after doing the outreach for this, there's so many things that I didn't know of, and I thought I knew a lot of people here, you know. And so I look forward to working with you and to having this coalition meet. It's going to be meeting quarterly. It's not an every month meeting. There's no dues, no fees, nothing. It's just meeting together and networking. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
I've known you for a while, so.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I know a couple of you for a while. Yes. Do you have any questions?
I did have one question. So if I have more than one board member that wants to go, would that be okay? Then?
Yeah, just okay. One board member is fine.
If I had two wanted to come, that would be okay also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to be sending out emails and letting you know. I'm sending out the agenda next week.
Okay.
And just to let everybody know what's going to be going on at the meeting, and I'm going to be doing a short survey too.
Okay.
So thank you so very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, next speaker.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I noticed that the website is brand new and it looks really quite beautiful, and I'm happy for the new look. And I'm hoping that as time goes on, you will populate the pages with the old agendas and the old, points of interest. Also, I was wondering if there was some way to put on the front page, if there was something like the Chromium 6 thing that came up, where there'd be an announcement for people to go look somewhere for something that is important that the community needs to know. So that would be nice on the homepage. Also, the old way of looking at the old agendas and the items on the agenda, you would just open the page and look at it, and you could download it if you wanted to. But now it downloads automatically, and my download folder is like packed by the end of searching for something, and it's kind of annoying. I have to go clean it out. So if you could return it to the way it used to be, that would be great. Thanks.
Richard. This is probably going to be addressed maybe in committee reports. I don't know. But at the Basin Management Committee meeting, there was an agenda item about videotaping the meetings. But it was contingent on whether or not it could be shown on Channel 20. And you were going to look into that, Marshall. Are we going to get an update tonight on if you looked into that? And even at that meeting, I couldn't understand why it couldn't be. It's our station. I mean, we put everything else on there, water conservation tips and everything, because I think this community missed an opportunity to view two PowerPoints that were important. And I think it's also an opportunity, I guess it would be an opportunity, if it's videotaped and streamed, for our general manager to review those meetings, due to there's a tie into the CSD of us being a member of the Basin Management Committee, and as far as funding requirements, sources, grant funding, the state of the basin, the cooperation with the other purveyors. I think it's something that the general manager should have access to if he's not going to be at the meeting. I'm not saying he has to be at the meeting, but I think we need all of that information out there and outreach and availability to the public. So I'm hoping that's going to be addressed somewhere on the agenda tonight. If not, maybe you can just talk about it.
Julie Tacker, and I want to talk about the Basin Management Committee a little bit, too. I know you have a report, but it's not in written form, so I don't know where you're going to go with it. I hope the television question can be answered easily. It is our station. You're a participant. It doesn't make any sense that there was ever a question. With regard to the Basin Management Committee and something that Richard said about Peter or any general manager that you may have in the future being able to participate or watch the meetings to stay informed, I haven't heard a whole lot about what's going to happen with the executive director there. And, you know, Rob Miller is our engineer, and I want him representing Los Osos Community Services District. And right now, you've given away that objectivity for our side of the committee. That's how I feel about it. Additionally, what the priorities are shaking out as. I know the 8th Street well is a high priority, but it's expensive, and we don't have a lot of money. It seems to me that we could maybe look at what is affordable now and maybe change the priorities some. And the biggest bang for the buck via yield would more likely be a central well. And, you know, perhaps we could be looking at really getting some water for our money. So those are my thoughts on that.
Okay, thank you. Any other comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment.
And I will be addressing those items that were addressed to the Basin Management Committee in my Basin Management Committee report. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and move on to item number 9, Administrative and Committee Reports. First up is the Fire Department report, and I understand that the reports will have to be given from the podium tonight. Or from the lectern, pardon me.
From the lectern, yeah. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. Tom McEwen, Battalion Chief for CAL FIRE, the North Coast Battalion, and I'm here this evening to present to you the Chief's report for April of 2016 for Station 15, the South Bay Fire District. In April of 2016, in Station 15 responded to 95 calls. Five of those calls were back-to-back. Of those 95 calls, we had 77 medical aids. 37 of the medical aids required advanced life support. We had three traffic collisions, five fires, 10 public assists, and a few more miscellaneous calls classified as emergencies. Company 15 was brought in to cover the station a total of three times in the month of April. Administratively, in the month of April, approximately from April 12th to April 20th, Medic Rescue 15 was back into Perry Ford again, and then eventually to emergency vehicle specialists in SLO, and having some problems again with oil leaks and a complete failure of the Code 3 lighting system that had to be redone. Why it was in the shop, San Luis Obispo County Fire provided a reserve engine to cover the station, and so that we could maintain our two engine fleet, and the repair was covered through the cooperative agreement with SLO County Fire. On April 17th, Medic Engine 215 also went out of service to Emergency Vehicle Group, and again, we were able to use a county engine, and the repairs were paid for under the contract. And April 18th, the command vehicle went out of service for electrical issues, again, paid through for the contract. We've been having a lot of problems with our equipment recently. Medic Engine 215 has been out of service for a little while, waiting for a part to arrive that had to be found. And it has arrived, and hopefully that will be back in service in a couple of weeks. So as far as special programs and stuff, during the month of April, we're continuing to work on the new carpet and flooring in the station that's should be beginning this weekend, and hopefully will be finished up in approximately 2 weeks. And that's going to replace approximately 70% of the flooring in the fire station. As far as the training side, we're continuing to work to train our four prospective Station 15 reserve firefighters, and they're currently working on their rookie task books and slowly moving through that. That's the conclusion of the report for this. Any questions from the board? Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. So we'll go to Utilities Department report. Margaret?
Good evening. My name is Margaret Faulkner. I'm here to report on the operations of the Utilities Department for April. As far as water is concerned, we had total production of 15.2 million gallons, which is a decrease of approximately 3% compared to last year at this time. And using the state's formula, residential customers consumed 67.4 gallons per person per day in April. 43% of the water service area received bills for 10.2 million gallons of consumption, which generated a revenue of $120,748. This is for the time period of March 9th through May 10th, 2016. And this represents a decrease in consumption by approximately 17% and an increase in revenue by almost 1% when compared to last year. So included in your packet is a notice to our water customers informing them of the regularly scheduled increase to go into effect on July 1st. The notice was inserted in the May billing, which is 43% of the service area, and the remaining 57% of the service area were mailed. It was a one-page notice. We double-sided it to save some cost. So that gives the customers at least a 30-day notice. As far as Vista de Oro is concerned, at the end of April, the subdivision was hooked up to the Los Osos Wastewater Project collection system. And in May, just recently, we sent a final semi-annual report to the water boards on our waste discharge orders. Bay Ridge Estates has also been hooked up, and another final semi-annual report was done. And this concludes my report for the evening.
Any questions?
Yes. Yes, I have a question about the total water usage in April. You mentioned 67.4 gallons per person per day. Now, I assume that's indoor and outdoor. Do we have figures for month by month on that? And where I'm going is that and the county had kind of committed to helping us get to 50 gallons per person per day indoor use. I assume in April there's some outdoor use that might bump that to the 67. Do we have data for December and January where we wouldn't have been watering outdoors that show just what indoor use is? I'm trying to figure out if we're getting near that 50 gallons per person per day.
Yeah, well, that is based on the production only. So, I have it monthly. That's why I report it monthly. But
okay.
I can't discern how much of it was outside. So.
No,
and if there were leaks in there too. So.
Right, okay, thank you.
All right.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Margaret. The Interim General Manager's report for the month of May.
Let me go live here. I won't get into a lot of detail. I've presented a written report for the file. We did had a lot of activity with the request for qualifications, request for proposal for legal services. It took a little bit longer to get out than anticipated, so it took a little bit longer to get them back. But we had a lot of response, and the board has a lot of work and review of those and determining the process for selection. So, but it was really good to see all of the interest throughout the area and state in providing services to us. The website has been a labor of love with Shalice Drake, who's been helping me and working with Ann and Margaret and everyone in the office to get that up and running in short order. And we have taken the comments and certainly know exactly what needs to be done. It's a very simple program, simple format, so it's really easy for staff to update in the future and keep it updated where we don't have to pay someone outside to be a webmaster. It's specifically for our purposes. One thing I want to make you aware of is that there is a budget calendar revised that is attached to my report that was revised even after this revised schedule was out, and it's been revised again. So when you look at that budget calendar, that's really just kind of a mind map of what needs to be done and what we're doing internally to get it there. And unfortunately, there have been some staff absences that are going to delay it again a little bit, but we've got a plan on how to make up some time. So it's just a matter of continuing to get there. We're trying to make up a lot of ground in a short period of time. Lastly, this is something that we are considering. We haven't gone through all of the information yet, but we do have a huge resource in these septic tanks that are being decommissioned in those two communities, and looking at whether they can be repurposed and for what purpose they could serve is something that I think we should spend a little bit of time and effort on. And anyway, it's a very unique opportunity with the amount of underground storage in those tanks. So other than that, like I said, don't hold your horses exactly for this budget schedule. There are committee dates that are mentioned in those in that report that have not been confirmed. But the plan is to have a continuing budget / preliminary budget before the end of the month of June, and then proceed with a final budget adoption before the September 1st deadline.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none. LOCAC? Oh, that's right. I forgot Vicki. Well, you're doing it now in Vicki's place, correct?
I believe so. my name is Jeff Weir. I'm the chairperson for LOCAC. I did drop a sheet off with these comments. I'm going to make a couple of amendments to it. We did receive reports from the Sheriff's Office, the Chamber, and, of course, from your organization, CSD. I don't need to go over the things you guys already reported on. Chamber did mention they have a new kind of food event coming up. I would recommend to everyone take a look at it. It's June 24th, I believe. I think it's a great opportunity to do some things. We did receive a presentation from Gary Dove, who's the president of the Los Osos Baywood Rotary Club. They're proposing to put a new outdoor stage in the community for the community's use. The Rotary Club will pay for the construction of the stage itself, where it needs to go, and who's going to be responsible for it. I do recommend your Parks and Recreation Committee take a look at that and get involved, because I think it's really important. It can go anywhere in the community, but it needs to be managed by somebody. Somebody needs to be responsible for it. We could default to the county, but I'd rather see our own community take charge if we possibly can. He's available to make a presentation to you guys, to the committee, to the board itself, however you'd like to do that. I think it's worthwhile. It's just a short presentation, but I think it's pretty informative. We acted on three action items, one from Golden State Water to put an ion exchange unit in, along with some storage tanks and some other things over on Rossini. I think that's how you say it. We did ask them to consider traffic activities. The schools there, the road, the street is in horrible condition, and to see what could be done, but also to make sure they let everybody around know what they're going to do. Not going to be a lot of truck traffic. There's only a few truck movements once per month, a couple others during the year, so it's not going to be too. We did recommend approval to go forward to the county. We had a minor use permit request for the modification and remodeling of a residence over on Pasadena Drive. By the way, we are seeing more and more requests to build things, particularly for houses coming through. I mean, whether they get built or not, but we're beginning to see it happen. I think people have some confidence that the issues are going to be addressed. We did also receive a request up in Cabrillo Estates on Houston Drive for minor use permit for the construction of a brand new house. Property's been owned by the same individual for 16 years, and it's a pretty unusual design. It'll be three stories and about 45 feet tall. So it's another, you know, what we're seeing more and more of is people are going to build up because of the views, particularly with things in front of them. All three of those items were voted on unanimously. We're forwarding a recommendation to the board and to the Planning Commission that they approve them. We did complete our election cycle. We have four people that were elected to four-year terms. Two brand new members, Lynette Tarnowski and Christine Womack, and then two of our existing board members that are actually appointed ran for election and will be seated for four-year terms, Vicki Millage and Carolyn Atkinson. Unfortunately, we did have to recognize one of our existing board members that would have been there for two more years. Alyssa Feldman has to leave. She's resigned from the board, so we'll have to get a replacement for that. We did select our officers. I had the good fortune to be selected as the chairperson. Vicki's going to be the vice chair. Treasurer is going to be Christine Womack, one of the new persons. And then our secretary, thank goodness, Lynette agreed to do that. It's really important. Thank you, Lynette. Supervisor Gibson did present certificates of appreciation to the outgoing members, which were Tom Cantwell, Nathaniel Blair, and Alyssa. And with that, I'll just take any questions if you have any.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
We have the Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report. Steve, you're up. At least I recognized you were here this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I have a few announcements. The Chamber of Commerce Mixer is coming up this Wednesday, June 8th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Los Osos Valley Memorial Park. We'll have light refreshments provided by Jimmy Bump's Pasta House, beer, wine, door prizes, and it's an opportunity to introduce your business to Chamber members and guests. A travel company, CI Destinations, along with the Chamber of Commerce, will be offering a fully escorted tour of the beautiful Amalfi Coast October 18, 2016. So there'll be a travel presentation to learn more about it, and it's going to be held June 16, 12 noon to 2 p.m. at the Morrow Shores Mobile Home Park Community Room, 633. You can contact the chamber for more details, but that's June 16 at noon. Got a ribbon cutting coming up. Starbucks is going to cut the ribbon on June 21st at 1 p.m. I'm sure they'll have plenty of things going on. We all have had our eye on that. So try to make it if you can. And then what Jeff was talking about a little earlier, the Los Osos Festival of Flavor, the food showcase, is going to happen right here, June 24th, which is a Friday, from 5 to 8 p.m. A portion of the proceeds is going to benefit the Slow Food Bank. And I've got some tickets. If anybody wants tickets, you don't have to pay me now. I'll just give them to you. You can pay me later. But this is sold out in the past, so I just want to let you know that. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Steve. Okay, so next item on our agenda is the Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting report.
Yes, the Emergency Services Advisory Committee met May 18th at the fire station, and we had our eyes opened. It was a very exciting meeting. It seems like we've been focused on big picture so much, looking at the potential Schedule A cost increase, the increase in overtime pay, the property tax issue, the bigger pictures, and we've been neglecting the actual hardware. We've had a history of problems with engines that Harmony pointed out to us in no uncertain terms, and we need to act on the rescue vehicle particularly. And you'll see that later on in our agenda. I'm glad that that's moving ahead quickly, because that is something that we just can't ignore. We have the funds in the vehicle replacement fund, so it's there, it's budgeted. We need to take care of that. We cannot have our emergency equipment out of service 50% of the time. Other things that we talked about were the fire mitigation funds, the definitions that you'll see in the resolution later for how that money would be spent. We talked about the subcommittee talking about a special fire tax increase. I think that'll all shake out as we look at our budget issues as a whole over the next 6 weeks or so. And that pretty well wraps up my report.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee. I guess since Director
the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee met late last month. We discussed an event that we're going to try to have to bring in people from throughout the community and try to sort of craft a cogent and more active approach to our recreational responsibilities and interests. So that's still in planning. Some report and effort will be put together soon to try to put some flesh on that and have an event sometime within the next month and a half. So.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, Mike, utility advisor.
Sure. Yeah, we met on May 23rd, and some of the items, we did have a preview of what we're going to be seeing tonight under general action item B, the general manager's draft management objectives for the district, and as to it applies directly to the utilities department. We also had a preview of consent agenda 11G tonight regards to the bidding process for the 8th Street well. And we had a very rough look at the budget. We essentially really just reviewed last year's budget because we don't have anything to really look at yet. And that's pretty much what we did. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none. So next up is the Basin Management Committee meeting report. The Basin Management Committee did meet on May 18th, and we talked about a couple of items. Nothing was really pressing on the agenda. Most of our things are going to be coming forward, I think, for major discussions in our June and July meetings where we're actually getting up to speed and getting operational. It's been a while to get us up and going. But the couple of things we did just get updates on is our zone of benefit analysis is moving forward, and we hope to have an opportunity to review it at either our June or July meeting. We did get an update from our grant update, an update on our grant schedule and the consultant we have working with for grants, and we expect to have a detailed strategy update at our July meeting. We talked about the water conservation program, and I think that's come up a number of times already tonight, and we talked about this extensively last meeting about really the importance of people who are hooking up to the sewer to, at a bare minimum, to go ahead and clean and seal their septic tank and not have it filled at this point. And it is an option, and all you have to do is just go ahead and have it disinfected and then sealed, and you can go ahead and wait till a later date to decide how you want to repurpose it. Supervisor Gibson pointed out that I think 22% of the septic tanks that 22% of the septic tanks that are currently, or pardon me, 22% of the sites that are currently connected to the wastewater project have repurposed or cleaned and sealed their septic tank. It sounds good to some people, but I think, you know, the more of those septic tanks that can be preserved, it actually creates a good situation for the community. In fact, the Basin Management Committee sent out a postcard last week, I believe, at least that's when I got mine, talking about the draft water conservation program and talking about outdoor measures and things that could be done as far as rebates and repurposing. So I hope everybody got that postcard. I know we did send it out. It took us a little bit longer, unfortunately, than we thought. So, again, I want to stress how important that repurposing is. We also just talked very, very briefly the groundwater basin boundaries proposal went into the comment period, ended on that, and it went into the State Water Board. There was a letter expressing some concerns about the revised boundaries by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Both the county and the Basin Management Committee have responded to that. The final boundaries are going to be voted on by the Water Commission on, I think, August 17th. So we'll see how that goes. That obviously is important to us where the boundaries of the basin are, and that will happen. Then we had another quick update on the creek discharge. If you remember, we talked a while or at our last meeting about potentially discharging some of the recharge water from the wastewater treatment plant into Upper Choro Creek. I said the wrong Upper Los Osos Creek. At least I caught myself. Upper Los Osos Creek. And we did get an update on that, that we have had some communications with the landowners, and we're moving forward and pursuing that option. We're going to be at our next meeting having an update on some sort of understandings that we may be able to do with these property owners as far as using the creek as a recharge basin. And then the last one was we got our initial data release from the April 216th seawater intrusion monitoring. We have gone now, as everybody on our board knows, we're going to regular monitoring now, so we're not just having random monitoring. And I think that Rob expressed it, that there was really no surprises in this. And, in fact, a couple of comments were brought up during public comment period about some anomalies in the report, and Rob explained that those were just technical errors that had to be corrected. So we haven't seen the final report yet. We'll see that at our next meeting. So that's what happened at the Basin Management Committee. Oh, pardon me, I forgot about the TV. I'm sorry. I knew you were going to say that as soon as, yes. The committee did unanimously vote to go ahead and video the meetings, and it was just a question of whether or not this could be included on Channel 20 or not. My understanding from talking to Rob Miller, who's out of the office this week, is that there's no problem with doing that, but we haven't gotten confirmation because we really don't have full control over Channel 20. So we hope that it isn't an issue, and from Rob's initial discussion, it wasn't an issue. So at this point, we're proceeding forward with the assumption that we will be live broadcasting that, and then we will play it at put it in our regular rotation of programs that we show. So I'm sorry, I answered that question. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none. Do we have any announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings? Lou?
Okay, the RAC, the Water Resources Advisory Committee, met yesterday. I'll just go over a few items that were the most focus of discussion. We talked a little bit about the rain and reservoir report, which is, as usual, mostly dismal, a little bit better than last year, but not as much as it needs to be. There was a discussion and a group of North County agencies encompassing Atascadero, Templeton, Walnut Hills, Garden Farms, and some others are forming a groundwater entity, a consortium, to figure out how they're going to comply with SGBA. Last month, there was an ad hoc subcommittee to meet once to figure out different ways that we can cooperate and collaborate to do more projects quicker and get more resources to do that. So there was a report of the budget ad hoc subcommittee, and they made some recommendations as follows. One, to form a more permanent ad hoc committee to identify project funding strategies, including grant activities that might cluster two or more communities or agencies with comparable problems and similar potential solutions. In addition, a parallel ad hoc committee was formed to identify project funding strategies on the IWRM list. Someone thought it was a good idea for me to serve on both, so I guess I'm doing that. There will be no RAC meetings in July and August, so we'll have to tune in later in the year to see how this all plays out.
Any questions? Any other committee? Okay, I've got one more. Morro Bay National Estuary Program. I do serve as the chair of the executive committee. We had our meeting in May, our quarterly meeting. We did review some grant proposals. We awarded, one grant for kayak informational program out on the bay, where it's not a policing effort, but where trained professionals would be available to talk to people about not intruding on the otters or the other animals that are out on the bay when they're out there doing their paddleboarding or kayaking. That was the only grant that we approved. And then we went over our two-year program for our task program for the upcoming 2 years, and we approved that unanimously. So that's what happened there. So our next meeting's in 3 months. All right. With that, any questions on that? Okay. With that, then we'll go ahead and close that administrative committee reports, and then is on the consent agenda, item number 11. Does anybody want to pull an item before we go to public comment?
I have a couple of, I have some questions, and I don't know if the discussion would lead to some pulling some of these or not. Basically, E, G, and H. E, I'm just wondering if there are major differences between our existing public records request policy and this new one. And if there are major differences, maybe we should talk about those. If they're not, then I'm fine leaving it on consent. I just don't know. The resolution itself refers to the total cost of the project, $540,000, but really it just moves ahead phase one. Should we include the $90,000 estimated cost for phase one in the resolution? I mean, that's really what we're resolving to move ahead, not the entire $540,000 project. And I don't know if we need to pull something to do that or if we can just amend that resolution. On H, I guess my question is that the CSD is moving ahead with the coordination and management of the construction of the interconnection. There's a reference to each party being responsible for its own internal costs and out-of-pocket costs. But if we are coordinating and managing the construction, will we be reimbursed by Golden State? I'm just not sure if that was part of the agreement or not. If we're fronting that cost, that seems unfair. And maybe it's in the resolution or the agreement for construction, and I just can't find it. So I don't know if we need somebody can.
Well, let's have answers, and then you can decide whether you want to pull them or not. Any other before?
No, that's it. That's it for me.
Okay. Do we have a response to those three questions then?
We'll give it a good shot. With regard to the public records policy, I am not aware of a specific policy related to public records that we have in existence.
Basically, what we've been doing is interpreting the Public Records Act in our responses, but this district has not adopted a formal policy. So there's really very little change.
Okay. So there's not a whole lot of discretion other than the board can recognize that there are time limitations in the law, and the board could look for all hands on to get it done faster. But in many cases, it takes the full time just to get the review to make sure that we're not disclosing confidential records or that. So anyway.
So if I understand correctly, all we're doing here is implementing the Brown Act.
No, the Public Records Request.
The Public Records Act. Okay, thank you. Okay. You want to leave that, Chuck, or you want to pull that?
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay. So, G?
Yeah, it just seemed like maybe that whereas the 8th Street Upper Well is a Program A Basin Plan project with a capital improvement project budget of $540,000, maybe we should just mention what we're really approving here is the $90,000 Phase 1. I mean, we mentioned Phase 1, but there's no cost. And I just wondered why the total project cost was mentioned when Phase 1 wasn't.
It's a good point. It is referenced in the staff report, and we, in reality, the budget amount is the amount that we are proceeding with. In reality, we're going to have it again as an action item in your budget for this upcoming year by the time we actually get out there and spend much money other than on engineering and advertising costs. But the intent was to get the authorization to proceed with the $90,000 component of work because we don't know what the next phase is going to look like all the way until we see what the water quality is and production. So it's certainly appropriate to make reference to the Phase 1 being the initial phase of work, or you can accept the resolution with the staff report being the record that states the same.
Well, if I understand correctly, and Michael, I mean, we could just make this as a technical correction.
Correct.
Okay. If you'd like to go that way, Chuck, I think we should just do that.
Yeah, I'd be satisfied with that.
Okay.
And then the last item was related to the interconnection. And this has been around for a long period of time. Margaret, do you have any additional information on the whether there was a cost-sharing component of the work that maybe the district puts in, an effort that is larger, more sufficient than Golden State does? In other words, if we do a higher level of project management work, was there any intention on Golden State to pay back a portion of that cost as far as this process goes?
The answer, well, I want to couch this because if I answered the question directly, it would sound bad. the parties have agreed that during the construction that they'll pay equally for the construction of the project. Golden State has certain parts of this on their side that they will be, quote, managing and supervising, just as we have on our side. And what we don't know if those costs are going to come out equal or disproportionate, but there's no discussion regarding sharing those costs, and basically each side bears their own costs in that regard.
Won't this be done under a single construction contract?
If you take a look at, yes, if you take a look at page 3, it basically says contractor's agreement. And we pick the contractor, and we pay the fees, but then we get reimbursed for 50%.
I understand getting reimbursed for the construction cost, the actual cost of construction, but there is a certain cost just to, you know, put out a contract to manage that contract. And I don't know if, I mean, we should be able to quantify our staff time that is involved in that and be reimbursed for it. Why should we do all of the construction management and the bidding and...
That was a negotiation that Rob primarily led, and he's not here to explain it. I was not really participating in that other than reviewing this agreement and giving it legal approval. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any urgency to this as to whether this matter can be pulled and considered at the July meeting with that explanation from Rob.
Let me give this a little bit more thought, if we don't mind pulling it. If pulling it for
continue
this,
it for a month.
Well, I don't know that we necessarily need to do that. I mean, I just address it in the as a polled item later in the agenda, assuming that we get to that point. I just need to give it a little bit more thought because we have a lot of discussion on a consent
let's
item.
Let's pull this one. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So. No other items. So the consent agenda will stand, except for we'll pull item 11H. So with that, then, can we go have public comment on the items that were on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, please? Excluding 11H.
No problem. I am Julie Tacker, and I actually think there's way too much on this consent agenda. The recommendations from your committees differ from what the actions you're taking tonight, with no explanation, no conversation by your board. In particular, I am on the Emergency Services Committee, and item F, we recommended that you move ahead with all three vehicles. Tonight, you're only doing the one. Fire Mitigation Fund, we had a lengthy conversation. I thought you would have a similar conversation, go over more than just the minutes, and have your own thoughts on where that goes. And the CPI in the fire tax, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that was always supposed to be a public hearing when we passed the tax years ago. So with regard to the public records request, I will never fill out this form, just so you know. It's not required. A form is not required. Even giving my name is not required. So, and I think there is a policy from this district. I remember very vividly in the 2002-03-04 era, when there were hundreds of public records being requested, that the district did put in some sort of pay up front or commit to a payment up front. What I'd like to see is some adjustment for now we're in the electronic age, that there isn't a fee if an item is scanned and emailed, because because the same machine that photocopies it spits out a piece of paper for one thing, but in a scan it does the same thing without a piece of paper, and it can be emailed. So there should be no charge. So I would have liked you to vet this policy and make some adjustments, and, you know, maybe it's for a committee in the future, but it seems like a busy work item to throw in here, because I almost can guarantee you there is a policy with this district. I've used it so many times. Ask Natalie Mocanegra.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. So many things, so little time. The utilities report, water consumption, the chart here shows 11 months. If we just for the last month of the fiscal year, just use what we did last year, which would probably be a little less than last year, the way we've been trending, we're going to be at about 445 acre feet of consumption. I think that's going to have some ramifications for the wastewater project. I think it's going to have some ramifications on if Golden State is running about the same level, which I believe they are. I think there's going to be some interesting ramifications for the recycled water program of what's going to be available to be used for that and its benefits to the basin. The main thing I wanted to talk about, well, before I get to that, the vehicle replacement discussion at the Emergency Services Committee was that all three vehicles be replaced. And I understand the staff report, but what I'm also fearful of is we're trying during this budget process or over the next 6 months before a mid-year budget's brought back, is to determine what resources the fire department actually has financially. We're going to be talking about the taxes that are currently going to the water department, administrative allocations, those type of things. I don't want ever to hear in the discussion that may be coming up that, oh, the vehicle sinking fund has this amount of money, blah, blah, or more money than actually some people think it maybe should have. We have the money to replace these vehicles. These other two vehicles have been out of service. They're costing money to have repaired. They're minor purchases in the scheme of thing, and I just think we should get them out of the way. That's my opinion. Last point, this budget calendar here, there's a proposed joint meeting of the Emergency Services Committee, Finance, and Utilities Committee. I'm really concerned about that being too many people in the room for a two-hour meeting to have a thorough discussion of all of the issues that need to be vetted. And the other problem is which chairs are going to be allowed. Can I just finish, Marsha? Which chairs are going to be allowed to have a voice at that committee? Because I don't think you can come up with the justification of which committee is more important than the other as far as all of the issues that need to be vetted at this joint meeting. And I'd also like to know when some of those discussions are going to happen.
All right, thank you. Lynette, any other public speaker after Lynette?
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I would say that as someone who worked with large databases with tons and tons of information spread over various servers, that there is a cost to providing an electronic file. It takes sometimes quite a bit of time to locate what someone is asking for, and sometimes you don't find it. So it might require more hunting still. So I still believe there should be a cost to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Oh, one more.
I'm not sure where this falls in the scheme of things here as far as because I came in late with the meeting. But one of my big pet peeves with what's going on is, and I'm not sure if this meeting is where this should be addressed, but we need a committee. We need something, an organization, a group in this town that reports to an agency that has something to do with animal issues in this town. Recently, there's been a group or a social media called Next Door going on, and there's been a lot of discussion about a lot of things going on besides the sewer. And one of them is the people and their dogs, and not picking up after their dogs. People, especially down by the bay, on the trails here locally, in the park here. And we need a comprehensive policy in this town about where people can walk, enjoy being in Los Osos with their animals, being able to enjoy being here in this town, but also to have access to dog bags, to be able to have places to deposit dog bags, but also to have a community policy where dog bags are used by the public and that the public feels responsible to picking up after their animals. I have been on a campaign personally about picking up here in the park, and I pick up after a lot of other unwilling dog owners here in this park. And the other day I was having a conversation with my daughter-in-law, and my one-year-old son was here in the park, and he was picking up something and putting it in his mouth, and it was dog crap. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to step in it anymore. I want to have a community policy and organization in this town that deals with animals and people and how they associate in this community with their dogs. And we need to do that. We need to, should do that responsibly.
Thank you. I would point out to you that the proper venue for take that to is Los Osos Community Advisory Council. They're the ones that deal with those kind of issues.
I've talked to a number of different
The Community Advisory Council is the one that you want to talk to on that.
I think I've talked to them, and they've bounced me around, and they said, well, that wasn't the appropriate venue. So
yeah, we have, I mean, that's outside of our scope of power, so unfortunately.
I understand that, but I've talked to a number of different groups, and okay. they all said it's not our bailiwick.
Yeah. I know being on the estuary program, it's an issue that we have because it degrades the bay really significantly. Yeah. Okay, so we'll close public comment. I would like to just respond to one comment about the hearing schedule on the budget. Richard, I think that Peter made it clear that that's no longer in effect at this point, so we will be revisiting that as we get the time frames clarified for that. And obviously, we're going to try to do it as efficiently as possible, but yet still have the individual committees be actively involved, so they will look at their bailiwick. So I just wanted to reinforce, I know you had already said that, Peter, but I'll bring that. So at this point, then, I'll need a motion.
Do we have clarification on J? There was a question about whether or not we needed a public hearing to implement the rate increase for the fire tax.
The CPI is an automatic inflator.
Okay.
It was approved as an automatic.
Right. I was thinking that was the original
it's
structure.
More of, it's still at the discretion of the board if you want to take action to not implement it. Mm-hmm. But if you took no action at all, it's going to proceed.
Correct.
Okay. Hey, Papes. Okay, so we'll go ahead and I'll take a motion for public to go ahead and receive and file the items on the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda with the exception of 11H, which has been pulled for separate discussion.
I so move.
Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Was there a second?
A second.
I proposed.
Oh, you were the motion maker? I'm sorry. I lost my track here. We have a second?
Do we have a second?
Yes. Okay.
Sorry. Thank you.
Do we have any further discussion? I'm sorry. Okay, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes, with the exception of Jay.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that, then, we'll go ahead and move on to the general action items. The first one is general action item A, review district organizational chart and the responsibilities associated with the various positions.
Wow, that has to be the first time that I've hit one button and had the technology work. Thank you very much, AGP Video. Members of the board, members of the public, thank you for an opportunity for a few minutes on your agenda. I will not take a huge amount of time, but whenever I hear the words that we're not producing a lot of a forward momentum, I want to let you know that every day is forward momentum, and the next two agenda items are very, very important in that activity because, as it is, the Board of Directors is the policymaking entity, and you hire professional staff to take care of the day-to-day, and then you've got to have checks and balances to know that things are going the right way. So the important thing to know about this organizational structure is it's been in place for a long time. In some entities, the board takes a very active role in setting up the organizational structure. In some entities, it is the general manager's role within the budget to set up their team, to set up what positions they have to fulfill the mission and vision of the board. So it's very different depending on where you go. And the purpose of this discussion is not to point out that anybody's not doing their job or anybody did anything wrong or that we've got a big fatal flaw of any sort, but there is certainly there's a hole in the middle of our organization. So what I'm going to briefly discuss is we're going to talk a little bit about the GM's responsibility. We'll get more into that. Take a look at the existing organizational chart, highlight the key positions, and those are the mid-management and the upper supervisory level positions that we have with the district. Talk a little bit about weaknesses, and then I never talk about weaknesses without some input on opportunities going forward. This is the way that the current organizational structure pretty much lays out. It's kind of difficult to get them all on a flat plane in this way and still be able to see it on a screen, but you have the district board of directors with district council, the general manager, and then below, in the way that we have the structure, district engineer and accountant that would appear to be under the general manager's direction in the way that this is set up. Then you've got the fire chief and the fire department off to the right side of the organizational chart. And then on the left, you have the administrative services manager. The number in parentheses is the number of funded positions at this time. Then you have an administrative accounting assistant. You have two in that position in various functions, a part-time administrative assistant at the front desk at a half-time approximately. You also have another mid-management position, a utility systems manager that is not filled, and then two utility compliance technicians, Margaret being one of them, and also under that utility systems manager, you have a water resources crew leader that then is in charge of the field staff, okay? So under this structure, the way that it's set up, if the positions were filled, you'd have the administrative services manager over the office, the utility systems manager over the field, and the fire chief over the fire department, and the accountant, administrative services manager, utility manager, and fire chief reporting to the general manager. Okay, that's the way that this structure is set up, and I just wanted you to know that the current chart position title is trainee with a water resources operator, but they achieved their certification. So any questions about the current structure? Okay, I see head nods. going on to what is the reality of what this looks like is that all of the positions in red basically report directly to the general manager. Even the part-time administrative assistant that's still in blue on the left-hand side, in reality, is under the general manager. So you've got the water resources crew leader, you've got two utility compliance technicians, two administrative accounting assistants, an accountant, and a fire chief. That's seven. In most any business, that's beyond your span of control for a single supervisor, but you have a management position, you have a manager that you're putting in a supervisory position as well as a management position. So you're asking the general manager to be a full-time supervisor of seven people plus a full-time manager, okay? So that's just that's just the way that this has occurred. The administrative services manager and the operations manager position were both eliminated after the bankruptcy. I'm not sure of the exact date that those were changed, but they were not filled. So now, any questions about that and the reporting the way it is? So in other words, when I'm doing vacation leave requests, sick leave requests, going through personnel issues, going through performance evaluations, those all occur with all of those people. And that's a significant number of direct reports for any general manager. So by optimal, in looking at this, it's not a huge change on what we currently have. And by optimal, I mean that if you look around at the districts around us and you look at the way that they're structured, they're not structured much differently than we were before. And in order to get that span of control with the general manager under control and allow the general manager to have their primary effort on managing the district and feeding the board with good information and doing good evaluations and analysis and managing the resources like the district engineer and others, they're right. You're going to have to free up some of their time because it's been really apparent that where we are having some difficulties in the management of the district is due to the fact that we've eliminated those two positions, okay? So just to dive into the responsibilities at this point, with this structure, the only change is that we've added the community. Typically with an elected board, you'll have the Los Osos community or the community as the top of the food chain. They elect the board of directors, and then you've got everything else underneath that. So that's just a structural thing. As far as when you talk about the auditor, engineer, and legal counsel, in reality, those are the people that help you when you go through and you have 15 managers. Those are the people that go through and help you when you have different board members who haven't been on a basin management committee or on a finance committee or on anything else, and you lose some of that institutional knowledge every time. If you don't have the district engineer to manage your I'll just go ahead and put it up there. If you don't have the district engineer to be part of that, in many cases you'll lose things like maps and drawings and historical infrastructure records and all of those. If you've got problems with staff or bad staff or not good policies internally, then you can lose those very, very expensive, very critical records. So the district engineer is key in helping you with that. And again, this is taking the general manager. If you wanted to change general managers a lot, continuing forward, which I know you don't, these people are very critical. District council and having the good relationship with district council to make sure that the affairs of the district are in order and typically keeps a good history of what's caused you trouble in the past and helps you avoid it going forward. Litigation, lawsuits, extremely expensive for the district, any district, and you want to avoid them as much as you possibly can, and there's a lot of ways to do that. The auditor is a consultant of yours, members of the board. They are there to help you know whether your management is conducting the affairs of the district, the financial affairs, in compliance with laws and regulations and standards. Your auditor is there. You know, they're not there to tell you whether your business is being managed correctly. However, they'll tell you if there are indicators of a problem. Your board should be meeting with the auditor in advance of the audit being conducted in some way, you know, either by committee, board president, president, vice president, or full board, to make the relationship happen and build that rapport with the auditor to make sure that they're meeting your expectations with their evaluation of the district. But those three, they serve as a contractor to the board of directors. Sometimes a district engineer and district council will be on staff, but in a district our size, we can't afford it. But they serve your purposes, but they are typically directed by the district manager from a practicality perspective. Okay, but you need to know that those folks are there for that specific purpose. So, jumping back to the general manager, that's just kind of a real quick one. If you don't know, in reality, the general manager is the only employee of the board of directors. That is the one that you hire and supervise and set standards for and discipline. And the rest of the employees are under the control of the general manager. That's why you got to make sure you get a good one. Under the government code, it's very, very specific. The general manager is there to implement the policies established by the board for the operation of the district. Appoint, supervise, discipline, dismiss employees consistent with the employees' relations system. That's your personnel policies and your union MOU. Supervision of the district facilities and services and all that that involves, and the supervision of the finances. That pretty much covers everything, and it's very, all of the rest of the law supports that that authority for the general manager and that responsibility. Going back to the administrative services manager, this is the position that was not filled or was let remain vacant after the bankruptcy. These are all the functions that have been filled piece by piece by your existing staff without changing their job descriptions, their pay, their responsibility level, or really having an expectation that they would pick them up in total, although they have. In many cases, your existing staff has picked these up. So don't ever let me fumble and make you think that your staff in your support positions is not doing their job. Okay, they are doing anything they're asked to do. However, they can't efficiently self-manage, and it is if you've ever had a business and you've tried to let employees self-manage, it works in some cases and not in others. But this position was to direct, manage, supervise, and coordinate all of the finance, human resources, risk management, information systems, and facilities maintenance for the office, and coordinate with everything else. When it comes to things like your resolutions, those are kept and keeps those in good order. When it comes to the records of the district, critical contracts and other things, the adoption of policies and amendment and the way that we move those through the system, as long as we've got somebody who's been there for 16 years, we're in great shape. The minute I hire somebody new, they're going to take constant supervision, and we're not going to be able to keep the same people all the time. So that is a critical, critical position that is definitely causing us some grief that we don't have that in place in our ability to set standards for employees and monitor those, okay? The administrative accounting assistant, that's the position that we have here in the room. It's Ann's position, but I'm not bringing up individual people, okay? I just want to make the have the understanding. They're really responsible for a variety of clerical duties, supporting, was primarily supporting the finance side of the equation, but in reality, it is everything under the administrative department, and they are to do that under supervision by the district accountant and general manager. But in reality, they've been picking up the supervisory duties as well, and doing that to the best they can. The utility systems manager was just like the administrative services manager, but on the operations side, they were responsible for all the operations. So when it comes to things like coordinating a new lateral for your fire hall, I've got to either do it myself, I've got to give it to the firefighters to put together the bid package, or I've got to give it to the district engineer at their wage. This is a job that could easily be done by a utility systems manager to manage that construction project with very little engineering involvement and get that work done. Right now we are, I would be assigning it to someone who's never done it, and I'd have to coach them all the way through it. Or I'd give it to our district engineer who's going to charge us that rate to supervise the entire project. So I'm just telling you the reality of the way it currently is. Utility compliance, we don't need to get into that a whole bunch. You see what they do all the time, but they're very important with the district. All of the state requirements and meeting all of those and the permitting requirements for each of our utilities. Very, very extensive now. So, you know, when it comes to making sure that those jobs get done right now, again, that's all falling on your general manager. And so, in reality, the thought is that what I would like to have the authority to do is look at the reorganization from within. We've got some really, really talented staff, and we would look first at trying to fill positions internally and reestablish that the administrative services manager position and utility systems manager positions. Again, looking internally and moving people up and then possibly not filling at the bottom, or just depending on how things go, that would be the first option. The other would be, you know, adding headcount or rearranging some other expense to free up money to be able to fill those in. So until we get a budget going forward and everything else, I just want to let you know that that's the way my mind is working. I think that will solve many, many, many of your problems from all the things that we've seen that have been difficult for the board and district can be addressed in this way and free up much more time for your general manager to really focus on managing the district. I know that I am out of breath.
Any questions?
Yeah, I was just going to say that seemed like a long-winded way to say what we need to do is upgrade a utility compliance technician to a utility services manager and take half a PY from our accounting administrative assistants and then half of the accountant PY and make an administrative services manager.
Maybe.
You're saying we have good people.
Yes.
And it's potential that they will be upgraded in those positions. But we need more responsibility, it seems like, at key positions.
I need to be able to assign it to two people and then be able to monitor the two people and hold them accountable to make sure that everything else happens. Because I know what needs to happen. I just can't make it happen myself all the way to the bottom of that scale.
It's no secret that the key to success is to surround yourself with good staff.
Right.
That's.
I'm just also saying I can't guarantee that we can accomplish it promoting from within. We haven't covered it internally. And you know, there's hurdles there.
Till you have job duties, specific job descriptions and job duties, then, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll open public comment on this item.
Julie Tacker, and I wish John Eric was here. You know, his expertise is in human resources. And I think he might be valuable to this conversation. And I'm glad this item is for discussion only, and that you are not giving direction tonight, because I think it's premature. Something Mr. Campa said that kind of insulted me for them, for the staff, was that you said they can't self-manage. Having been here for a very long time and been very closely involved, having been a board member, this staff has had to self-manage more than any other district, city, organization that I have ever seen, and probably more than you've ever seen. And they have done so successfully. They are what has kept this district going. So I think your choice of words was inappropriate. What I don't like is there will be cost implications. There will be negotiations with the union. You're triggering a whole new ball game by recommending these changes. And again, I think it's premature to talk this way. The only thing I like is that Los Osos community is at the top of the list again, where it was lost for a few years, because the voters are the bosses. I don't think the auditor should be here on your list. The auditor is contract, and they're temporary. Your district general manager, your district accountant, your accountant is an employee, but your contract legal counsel, your contract district engineer, your contract general manager is really a contract general manager, or could be. That's what we have right now. You're not our employee. And so, you know, until we shake out what we want to be when we grow up here, I don't think you change a thing. And until we see where our finances are, you don't change a thing.
Thank you. Richard.
Richard Margetson, I'm going to follow up a little bit. I also don't think the district engineer on that chart should be above the general manager. The board of directors doesn't give direction to the district engineer. I mean, you just don't come up with something, have him come in and do it without the input from the general manager and the coordination of the general manager on the process of, you know, contracting, whatever it's going to be. That I think that needs to be below the general manager on a sidebar. I also just, I know that doesn't have anything to do with the discussion of employees hiring possibly or rearranging, but I also have a little issue with the fire department line here. You have fire chief, and then below you have executive assistant and reserve firefighters. If you have the executive assistant, Cal Fire, where are the full-time firefighters on this chart? And they always were on the other chart. Mm. And the other chart was more broad-based. It wasn't just... I think just out of respect, you should have that back on here. And again, I think you got to figure out how you're possibly going to do this based on the finances of the district at this moment in time and where this money is going to be coming from. Because if you're moving these people up, that includes an increase in salary. I'm hoping you're not going. I hope you're just going to have the discussion and maybe continue this during the budget hearings. Mm-hmm. But please don't make a decision tonight. There's too many variables involved.
Lynette Tornatsky. I'm really happy to see some forward thinking. This sort of thing hasn't come up very often over the many, many years since the bankruptcy, which screwed all of this up to begin with. So I'm really happy to see that people who have been working above their pay grade for a long time being recognized. And hopefully there is some way to upgrade what they actually already do to a title and a salary that reflects that. I'm sorry that they've been so put upon for so many years, and we're lucky we've kept who we have. But I hate to see it continue where they are really at an unfair advantage and being taken advantage of.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. I'd just like to make one comment. This is just for discussion purposes. This will be visited during the budgeting process. So we're just here to get some direction. So as we go through the budgeting process, Peter and the committees are able to get to hear what the public had to say and what the board had to say. So,
can I just clarify, because I want to make sure that there's no mistake, no spin on meetings or anything else. I'll just let you know, this is a fantastic staff, and this particular staff has self-managed. You don't set up an organization for the people you have in place today. You set up the organization and the chart, assuming that people are going to come and go, and you need to look at what happens when you have to replace them. It's succession planning. It's a way that you have to approach it. So I'm not looking to say that anyone's not doing their job or that they haven't been able to manage it. It's just there is the expectations have been higher without an understanding of being able to set the standard higher and compensate appropriately and everything else. So I think my choice of words was not inappropriate. I give high praise to staff and always will.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to start with comments myself today for a change, because I think that there was a couple of good comments that came out. I do definitely agree with Richard that we do need to include the firefighters there. Since we're including Harmony's position, I think we do need to include it. Nothing against Harmony. She does a great job. Yeah. But I do think we do need to include the firefighters there, too. The other comment I would have is, I do agree, sort of like the board of directors should be the second in line there, and then the general manager should come down below that, and then so the district council, district engineer, and auditor actually come down below the general manager. I think that makes sense, because as was mentioned, we don't directly micromanage those personnel. I think the other thing that I'm just going to add is, again, why we brought this to the board now is so we could have this input, so as we move through the budgeting process, we could take the comments and concerns and considerations into account. So Chuck, you're next. Well, if you don't have comments, you don't have to make them. That's okay.
Ditto? This is all part of the big picture look that we just haven't been able to do in a while. So we've got to make sure that the limited resources that we have are being spent wisely.
I think this has been a very useful exercise. We don't all agree with where things go. I think I share Marshall's advice about. I share Marshall's advice about where general manager should be in the hierarchy, and who should report to the general manager. And I think we've neglected this over the years because of the storm and crazy things that have happened, and so on and so forth. We can get this right. Really good exercise.
Thank you. Mike?
Well, I'll just have to emphasize.
You get the last word this time.
Thanks. Well, I'm just going to, say ditto on this. I think it is a good exercise. I think we do need to look at this. I think a lot of the strife that we've had the last few years is because of too much micromanaging and not managing well at the same time. And I think we do have a fantastic staff. I mean, they've, talk about being down in the trenches. They've just done a great job, and the last few years has been like guerrilla warfare around here. So I think this is a good discussion point. I think it's good to keep this in mind when we go through the budget process. So, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I think we've got some good discussion and good direction. So that'll bring us then to 12B, which is review and approve interim general manager's management objectives for 2016-17. And the reason this is on the agenda, when we brought in Peter as the interim general manager, we gave him some very, very specific tasks. But we wanted to look at broadening the scope of those tasks because there are more things that we'd like to prioritize than just the budget and the audit, which is what we prioritized originally. So with that introduction, I'll turn it over to Peter.
Yeah, I typically go through these one by one, but considering the fact that we have evening meetings and everybody wants to be able to rejoin their family or get on with their life, I don't think that any of these are very much of a surprise to you. But this process typically is either done top-down, where I walk into an organization, we either develop a plan or they've got a plan, and then I'll say, here's the way we meet this plan. Or we get consensus if there's no plan, really. That doesn't necessarily mean a terrible thing, because this serves as a plan. This serves as your management plan, what you want your manager to focus their time on, because things come up every day where somebody wants you to focus on something different or get something else done. And I might have a board vice president or a board president that really have something that they want to see dealt with. And I need clear direction from the board as a team in a single voice on what it is that we need to get done. And so also considering that, because we don't need to argue about whether it's done or not, we don't need to set up nebulous things that we can't measure or understand. Now, the board can do that, and then I'll come back with a number of measurable things underneath that to be able to say whether we're getting there or not. So that's the intent of this, is really to help guide the discussion. Understand that when I come in the morning, when I go to bed at night, whenever I'm working on this stuff, that I am, one of these is on my mind. And likely when you ask me to do something that's not within these, we'll have a conversation about how these might be amended at some point, which happens. This is not a set in stone where I say, not in my job description. Managers do whatever it takes to get it done. If it's outside of this and it remains outside of this, then it's only reasonable for us to bring this back up, and that's why I say we review it on a regular basis, have a brief discussion. Certainly when new board members come in, they're going to want a discussion about it. They may want to add to it or change it or throw it out or whatever. So I think it's really important. I've broken it down fairly simply by immediately. And those are things that we're currently dealing with. We will have the audit by the end of the month. The state controller's report has been filed. So we're working through all of those things. And you can count on those being done. Then when you get into the first 6 months, that's really, we're working on many of these things already, but we hope to, if we look 6 months down the road from now, into the middle of winter, this we would hope to have accomplished these. In many cases, I'll come back and it'll be the same thing, but it'll be broken down into two or three additional items that the board may need to give me a decision or direction on. And you'll see these show up on the agenda as well. You'll see items tied directly to this. One thing that came up when you look at the first 6 months is we need to add in having a conversation with the schools related to the recycled water contracts. That came up and is something that I did not address previously, but that's going to be an issue. So that's basically entering into conversations with them and resolving the potential loss in revenue and the way to make that up with the district and work out the details of recycled water sale versus water sale from us. And then also adding in the first 6 months the purchase or placing a purchase request for the replacement fire equipment that we've already authorized. I realize that we all realize that the committee had made a recommendation of all three, and we intend to do that, but we really need to focus on our effort on one and then the other two. Those could all happen at the same time. We just haven't gotten there yet. But we recognize the need, and we clearly understand the direction. So that would be in the 6 months as well. So out 12 to 18 months, I may or may not be here, just depending on the will of the board. And that is that doesn't mean that because I'm not here, you can't have these in place. You've got to, like we talked about with the organization, it's not about the people, it's about the issues. So this can kick it off. We can add to it at this meeting. We can say this is a good first step. Let's keep it moving forward. And if we make amendments over the next couple months to get it finalized, then we may have to readjust some of the priorities. Not sure, but we might.
Thank you. And I'd just like to add to that. The reason I think Peter made it clear, but the reason this is on the agenda, and as I mentioned, we hired him as interim and gave him some really, really short-term tasks, and we didn't look out for the bigger vision here. So my thought process on this was that, you know, we get this out here today. If we adopt it or adopt it as amended, it would go through our committee process, et cetera, so we would update it. So it's a living, breathing document. It's not set in stone. So, but it just, I think it's good to get something in writing so people can physically refer to it rather than just be this ephemeral stuff that nobody's sure about. Anyways, with that, we'll go ahead and open public comment.
Julie Tacker again, and you know, a few months ago at your finance committee, your finance committee members asked for an analysis that showed the way we're going and then what's coming. Right. And what I know I've done this a few times for you guys, asking that be done. And I think in these first next steps, next 6 months, whatever, I think you have to have that analysis and you have to have the conversation. Vista and Bay Ridge are gone. You're a water district for only a portion of the town. The fire department is, the time has come where the property tax needs to go there. So the water department is going to have to, water customers are going to have to step up and carry their own water, so to speak. And that conversation is going to be difficult. But it has to be had. And it has to be had in these short-term goals so that we don't prolong the agony and we have a succession or an exit strategy. We have to have a plan. You know, what does the community want anymore from your district? Maybe you as individuals have ideas, but until we see that analysis, I don't know what to call it anymore. I'm just going to cross my arms like this, and you're going to know what I'm talking about, because that conversation has to take place.
Thank you. Richard?
On this list, unless I missed it, I don't see that discussion of the property taxes at the water department as part of this. And it may be here. Maybe I missed it. But Mr. Campa brought up about the recycle water to the school. Mm-hmm. That discussion shouldn't be happening with the schools. That discussion needs to be happening with the county. you got to fight, because there's a number of rumors out there about whether what percentage of that revenue you're going to get back. There's discussions of, you know, they're treating it, they're pumping it back, and all the revenue from those sales is going to go to us, whether that's an equity issue. I think the contract could possibly be adjusted, but we're 4 years out from when, about 4 years out from when that contract was signed. And I gave, Mike has the agenda item for the school board the night that they approved it. And I think, wasn't it March or something? Okay, so we're more than four, and that's 2012. So we're in line here soon for that contract being adjusted, but it can only be adjusted by that contract percentage, and our rates have gone up. Look at that analysis, but the discussion has to be had with the county as to get a clear understanding of what they're going to do as far as the revenue stream. If they're going to go back at some point and look at getting that adjusted in a negotiation with the school district, because having a conversation with the school district, with their budget, you think they're going to go, oh, sure, we'll go back to the current rates and implement them as the current rates in a contract. That's a major advantage to them. That's why they signed it. That's why they wanted it. They're buying it below market rate, and now it's way below market rate. But that's part of those conversations that need to work into all of this discussion of which direction the district's going in the future. The administrative cost allocation I see is in here. I don't see a discussion, I may have missed it, I thought I read it, but of 4-0 staffing, you know, when that discussion's going to happen, if it's possible, in conjunction with the CAL FIRE Schedule A increase, property tax revenue projections, those type of things for that are used by the fire department. And then my last quick comment, just so there's no misunderstanding, the CPI increase for the fire department is not automatic each year. It's there if you want to take it. There have been years where it isn't. Okay, you all know that. I just want to make sure that's not what the ordinance says. It can be taken, doesn't have to be taken, or can be adjusted to a lower amount of the total.
Thank you. Lynette, any other public comment? Seeing none, you'll be our last speaker.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I thought there was a very interesting comment two public speakers ago on exit strategy. What exactly does that mean if it doesn't mean dissolution? And I'm not liking the sound of that. It seems like the voters keep voting people into office. There are candidates who are running. So I think losing local control would be a huge mistake. We have the opportunity to get the wastewater treatment plant back. We have the opportunity to get the solid waste franchise back. And I just find some people in town, it has been a rumor going around that they want the district to be dissolved. Well, let me tell you from personal experience, trying to dissolve the district myself, helping people in 2006, it was a very hard job. And I don't see anybody other than talk coming up to actually do anything about it, because it took months of table sitting, gathering signatures, and $30,000 to $40,000 worth of money, and I sure don't see that happening. So I would like to put that idea of an exit strategy to rest. I really don't think that's where the community wants to go.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll close public comment. Yeah, I think there was some good comments here, and I think, again, I see this as a living, breathing document. So we got some good comments about things need to be included. And also, I know we've spoken about this, and it came up again tonight, but we need to take a big picture look at it when we talk about our water rates and how that works. And from that joint meeting we had with the Utility Advisory Committee and the Finance Committee, which I thought was a very, very productive meeting, but you have it on here in various places, but I think
it needs to be, as was mentioned at that meeting, it needs to be looked at as all part of a big picture. So everything has to all be flowed together. So you can't just look at bits and pieces of it. And that has to do with the administrative allocation and all that stuff. So I know there's components that have been here, but I think that's something that just needs to be stressed, that we need to look at that, because we're going to be looking at, as you mentioned, the implications of going to level four, the implications of the water conservation measures that are occurring, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that has to be, I think, taken, that we looked at all components of that. So, okay, so I'll start with you this time, Michael.
Okay. Well, I think, yes, public brought up some good points. I do think that on the first 6 months, we do have to add the school district water contract, have a discussion with the county on that. I think also the due to the Schedule A increase with CAL FIRE, I think it even moves up the discussion of the 4-0 staffing to a higher level, so I think that should be within the first 6 months. And overall, though, I'm very pleased with seeing this. It's refreshing to see something so well documented and laid out. It makes it easier as a board member to, you know, see things. And so I think that's, you know, if we can just amend those few items. And other than that, that's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. Lou, your turn.
Yeah, I really like this. It's compact. It's 4 or 5 pages. And there's some that are small things we need to do, and we can do them in 3 weeks. But then it also set the stage for the next year. You're going to do this project and this project, or die trying. This is the way to run an organization. Then you succeed and move on to 2 more objectives or goals. This is cool.
Thank you. Chuck?
I agree. Measurable standards have to have, you've got to have a game plan to know what to measure yourself against. And I guess I wasn't quite as concerned about the property tax going to water that we want to move to fire and some of the actual specifics, because it's all part of the big picture budget thing. And yet sometimes if you don't keep track of all those, you forget about them. Like the fact that the county hasn't been sending us the public facility use fees, I think, for the fire department that we usually get. That's a whole issue that we need to talk to the county about. You know, I heard a rumor that we weren't going to get any because we misused them last time in the way we spent them at the fire station. I want some documentation about that. So anyway, we're keeping track of things. I think we're getting back in a forward motion, and it's good to see.
Okay, with that, can I get a motion then to go ahead and accept this with the amendments that were mentioned today? And also then again, I want everybody to understand that I view this as a living, breathing document that we will continue as we go through the committee process and the budgeting process to change. So
I agree. I just have one quick question, though. But
wait, I need a second first.
Oh, well, I made the motion.
Second.
Okay.
Now.
Is this something that, as far as updates, it's like every 6 months we'll see, or what's the typical?
Quarterly.
Okay, very good. Better yet. Okay.
All right. Any other discussion? Okay, Margaret. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. Anne?
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Tarnowski.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then we move to the discussion of the poll consent items, and we did have item 11H was pulled, so.
Go on.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm going to turn my microphone on so that everyone can hear me. I believe that if we go back to that agreement and just explain, I don't have little flags for my pages to tell me exactly where I am in this whole thing, but if you can get back to the agreement and look on page 2, it is item 1, which is interconnection B, which is costs, and that's where the parties agree to equally share all third-party costs. In other words, if we have any costs for engineering, legal, anything else, those costs are going to be split between the parties. And then when you get into construction, item number 2A, the scope of work. Prior to commencement of any work,
on the interconnection. The parties shall have mutually agreed on the scope, description, and total costs of each interconnection. And that is going to be where we identify what all of those costs are and what our internal costs would be and effort, and make sure that those are split out equally. Otherwise, we would be inclined to hire out for things so that the cost is split equally. If there's something that we can provide internally and do it in a cost-efficient manner, then I would expect them to produce something in like kind associated with that. So that would be your management working through those issues on that item. I think we can.
Okay, D under the recitals that troubles me the most. And I mean, it's right there. Parties desire that the CSD coordinate and manage construction of the interconnection subject to approval by Golden State, and that the parties share equally all third-party costs. I mean, is part of our development cost one of the third-party costs?
Yes. We would be, for example, construction management on it would be an engineer, and that cost would be split 50-50. The plans and specifications and the bidding process would all be handled by an engineering firm.
So we would have the district engineer do that, who is a third party.
It gives us control over it too, Chuck. Okay. It gives us control over the contractor.
Thank you.
I got you. Yeah, through Rob, and then Rob's bill gets split.
Right. Yeah, okay.
That makes sense. Okay, this is an item that might have to take public comment on. So does anybody have public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Somebody want to make a motion, please?
I move that we adopt a resolution approving interconnection agreement with Golden State Water Company in accordance with Program A of the Los Osos Basin Management Plan.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, roll call, please.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Tornowski.
Yes.
Director, President Ohilsky.
Yes. Okay, do we have any future agenda items? I know we've talked about some items that have been, I don't want to say falling through the cracks, but our future agenda items, and I think we're getting to a position now where some of those have become timely. So those will be agendized in the next few months here. I think that the actions we took today help us a lot on moving forward with that. So if you want to bring anything up other than the ones that have already been up, that have been brought up previously, let us know right now.
You do have your fee resolutions that will be on the July agenda for the various taxes that go on and assessments that go on the tax rolls. And there will be a public hearing associated with that advertised very soon.
Okay. All right. Closing board comments. I'll start with you, Lou. You haven't had a chance to start yet.
This was a very productive meeting, I thought. We accomplished a lot. We had some good discussion. We didn't get in fights with each other too much. It was good.
Thank you. Chuck?
I would like to say thank you to our wonderful staff. It's true that everything that has been said about the way you carry on is just there. It's amazing. And so thank you. I noticed something today on 10th Street in front of the county, the little office they have there for the office hours, some construction in the street. And I talked to Mr. Waddell about that. That is a purple pipe distribution station they're building. You know, Lindy Owen has talked to them so much about bringing the purple pipe back into town, get the water trucks, bring the water to, and you know, I don't know where that's all going to go. You need a contract to somehow make that happen, but the facility is there. County is moving ahead with that, and I was really, really happy about that. And if I never have to touch a shovel in a pile of dirt again for a long, long time, I'll be happy.
I was wondering what that construction was out there. Thank you for clarifying that.
I'm done.
All right.
Thank you all.
Okay. I'll keep it brief. I think I have to back up what Chuck said, you know, having been president on the board and seeing and working with the staff, they really do a great job. And I think we are moving in a positive direction. I like what we accomplished tonight. And I think we got that momentum started. And I think it's time to start moving forward. And also, just as a closing reminder, the Chamber food event on the 24th, Make sure you get your tickets early, because last year they sold out and people were turned away at the door. So with that, good night.
Thank you. And I'll just close with dittoing everything that was said. I think staff has done an exceptional job through some very, very trying periods, and I really appreciate all the efforts that they've made. And I do really, really appreciate the what I see is we've turned a corner here, and now we're taking some positive directions by what we looked at tonight as far as the staff makeup and the how the office will function, and then as far as the priorities. So I think that we did some good stuff today. So with that, I'll thank everybody, and we'll adjourn.